and welcome to the Dits on Wrestling podcast here on Project Dits. And we have a very special episode for you today. We're not doing our usual topic thing that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. We are bringing back a behemoth of a series. It is Draft That. And I can't draft against myself, so I got to draft against somebody else. And I'm drafting against this guy, Anthony. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. And I love Draft That. I'm a huge fan. As everyone in the DowPod universe knows, the very first episode of Draft That, the debut episode of Draft That, was long before I was a co-host, permanent co-host on this pod, but it was nonetheless you versus me.
It was.
The very first episode of Draft That. I love the concept. I think it, ranking things are fun, and everybody always does that. Like, if anytime you get in any discussion with your friends, it could be sports, movies, whatever, but in some kind of something, you eventually get into talks of like, oh, like, who's the best this or what's the best this? And those are all forms of rankings. Draft That is somewhat of a ranking, but it's more personal. It's competitive. It's original. It's fantastic. I love it. I'm always excited to be here anyway, but especially on a Draft That episode, ooh, get a little more excited, get a little more intense. I also do get more stressed because it's, it's tense.
And it's in video form now as well, which is...
I know. Oh, it's the first to Draft That on video.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously, if you are listening to this on the audio side of things, do not worry. It's the same Draft That you know and love. Nothing's changed. It's just we'll be able to see each other's reactions, and people obviously watching on YouTube will be able to see each other's reactions. Now, we were supposed to do this live last week on Twitch, but unfortunately, I can't remember why we didn't do it.
There were some technical issues, I believe, and then you had some things that you had to knock out, and thus we did not do an episode.
Yes. Some in-house personal stuff. But never fear, you know, that's not us saying that live stuff is going away, because it's not. If we don't get around to doing a live episode before WrestleMania, then we will be doing
There's the plug.
Of course, you've got to get the plugs in. We will be doing a live WrestleMania watch-along together.
Super excited for that.
Two nights. I'm very excited. I've never watched WrestleMania with anybody apart from my wife. So
really? Oh, so it gets to be honestly, me. That's even cooler. So
I'm pumped. I'm very, very excited.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. I guess that means I have to get the Peacock network now. I think it has to. Yeah, because I don't know if it happens before Mania. Oh, no, I think it does. I think March 16th. Yeah, the WWE Network in the United States in and of itself, like as an app, goes away and it becomes part of the Peacock Network.
Oh.
And then you can get it for – you can get it as part of the Peacock Network for – I feel like I'm plugging the app. You can get it as part of the Peacock Network for the same price without any ads, or you can get it for $4.99, so half price, but then I think your stream gets interrupted by ads, much like it would on YouTube or something like that. So – I just have to, it's going to be the same price. I don't care. I just have to delete an app and download a new one, I guess.
But you're paying the same thing. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I don't know.
They could have gone all WWE on that and mugged everybody off, but it's good to hear that they haven't done that.
Or they could have added like tiers and been like, oh, this price allows you live content. This one also gives you access to the vault. I would have been like, are you kidding me? I'm mainly here for the vault.
Freaking kidding me. But I'm very, very excited to do it because WrestleMania is actually shaping up to be pretty damn good at the moment.
So, yeah, not bad, especially now that they got the belt off Drew. He sucks, so I'm excited to not see him. No, yeah, but it's in all seriousness, yeah, you can't help but I knock WWE a lot, and rightfully so, and I rank it below several other promotions, but you can't not help but get excited for WrestleMania. Nope. Like, it just, if you are a wrestling fan, it means something. And especially, I know my fandom started earlier than yours did, but just, I mean, growing up and renting the videotapes of the old WrestleManias and seeing them live as a little kid, like, it is, as stupid as it sounds and corny as it is, like, oh, the grandest stage of them all. It really is. Like, WrestleMania is fantastic. And I'm very, 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 very excited to do that watch along, and the fact that it's your first time you're watching with someone else other than your wife, I'm pumped. Yeah. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah. So that's the perk of having two nights, so I can do one with you, and I can do the other one with her. But we'll have a look at the match card and see which one's shaping up to be better, and then we'll do that one, and then the wife can have the dregs. So she doesn't even enjoy it. She just likes watching it with me. It's just like our little thing.
Oh, that's nice, though. Yeah. I mean, she could. That's cool. Instead, she could be like, why are you watching that? It's not even real.
And then I dropped the bombshell on her that it's like an 8-hour show, and she's like, I'm out. Gone.
Oh, it starts, yeah, it starts at 4, and what time does it end? Like 4 the next day?
Yeah. She's like, nah, I'm out. But I could put the kids to bed as the show starts, and then I'll be getting up with the kids when the show ends. It's
wild.
That's not even far from an exaggeration either. From,
no.
Like, the one in New York, I forget the number, 35, 36, whatever it was. Yeah, it's crazy, crazy. But yeah,
that went from 4, the pre-show started at 4 p.m. for that, and the show, the Becky match, the Becky Charlotte Ronda triple threat, that ended at like 12:07, so it was like an 8-hour show. That's crazy. If you include the pre-show, which is insane.
Nuts. Nuts.
It might have even started at 3, but yeah, that's legit. Like, that's a full sleep cycle for a kid. So 8 hours, and then the time difference for you, yeah, that's legit. Put him to bed. Wake him up.
So stand by for a very long stream. I'll put it that way. But you do not have to worry. You do not have to worry about a long episode today. We're not going to go. We're not going WrestleMania levels, but we are going WrestleMania in general.
Segway.
Perfect segues. You know the drill here. You know the drill. Today we're doing WrestleMania dream cards. I have my dream card. Anthony has his dream card. And of course, we will be drafting our dream card. So the rules are pretty simple. If you're familiar with the draft app format, then, you know, you're familiar with it. Good for you. But but if you're not, we get 10 picks each and we both take it in turns. We'll do a coin flip to decide who goes first. And we can't do any duplicates, but in that we were thinking about making it even harder by going, you can only have one wrestler. So if we went like TLC, for example, nobody else could go Edge, Christian, Hardys, or Dudleys for the rest of the thing. That kind of, we thought, no, that's ridiculous. So we can do whatever matches that we want. The first 4 picks are free between us, but from the 5th round onwards, a steal is in place. So if one of us fancies one of the other guys' picks, we can do a steal, and the other person will have to bump up something from their list and go on from there. And to be honest, Anthony, I think that's really it for the rules for this one.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think you nailed it on the head. It's easier, I think, when we're doing drafts of singular people,
because
then it's like, okay, if you pick AJ Styles, I can also pick AJ Styles. But in this instance, it's just more of the match. Exactly. If you pick, again, and a little bit of a spoiler here, I know what your first pick is going to be, which is The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania 17. Maybe. I don't know. But if Ditz wins and he goes first and he picks that match, I cannot also pick that match.
Yeah.
But I think other than that, that's pretty much the rules. Also, I lost it. I was going to say something like wildly violent or inappropriate. It's like, also the loser has to X, but I was like, no, I can't say that. So never mind. Keeping it PG for the sponsors.
PG for the sponsors.
Super kicks. Pow.
Pow.
Right in the kisser.
Coin flip. Here we go. As always, you get the call. Anthony.
Tails. You know what it is. Tails never fails, but it has the last like 3 times we've gone. I really want first pick. Do I get it?
You get first pick, my friend.
Yes! That means I lock my... Ooh. I wanted first pick not because of the first match, but because of what my second match is, and I was afraid that you would take it.
I know. I think I know what your second match is.
Okay. Am I ready? Do I get to go?
Go for it.
Okay, first match. Match number 1 for me. This isn't a spoiler to you. I believe you know what it is. My number 1 match. It is one of my favorite matches of all time. It's what for the match in and of itself, it was fantastic. But what it did for wrestling and for these two characters is so monumental. My number 1 is Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, WrestleMania 13. The match was good. The pacing was good. The story was good. But I think what's even better than the match itself, it turned Austin into a face right before our eyes. Here was this guy who was this brash jerk heel and was supposed to be seen as such, but it was a time where people were kind of siding and looking for an anti-hero type of thing, which Austin was. And that iconic, oof, Austin is just bleeding in a pool of his own blood in the sharpshooter, but he refuses to tap out, passes out in a pool of his own blood, and then refuses help to go backstage. Oh, I got goosebumps thinking about it. He limps his way back, leaning on the railing, like gimping himself back there. He doesn't want help. Plus, Ken Shamrock is the special guest referee. That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's my number one. It's one of my favorite matches of all time, if not my favorite. Bret Hart's my favorite wrestler of all time. Stone Cold is my number two. And just, we saw right before our very eyes, we saw a heel turn face and a face turn heel in the span of just a natural organic way. And then it led to arguably the most popular wrestler in wrestling history in Stone Cold Steve Austin really being launched.
And I was kind of the same as you. You didn't put Rock Austin in your picks because you knew I was going to pick it. I didn't put that in mine because I knew you were going to pick it. And I shocked you a couple of months ago when we did our like top five greatest matches, because I put that in there in my top five and it actually shocked
you. Yes. I didn't think that would be up there for you.
It is so good. It is so, it's brilliant. I mean, WrestleMania 13, that's what, 20 odd years ago. Still holds up. And if anybody hasn't checked it out, do yourself a favor. Honestly, get on the network. Get on some illegal thing that you watch wrestling on. I don't care. Just watch it. Do yourself a favor. Go and watch it. It's very, very
actually,
very
what cool. You should also do, too, if you go on YouTube or it's Daily Motion, Stone Cold Steve Austin does a watch-along with someone for that match, and he is giving you, like, behind-the-scenes things of, you know, okay, so this spot right here, Brett called it right here on the fly. We did it because of X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. It's really cool insight. Also, if I remember correctly, the blood in that match was decided between Austin and Brett, and Vince McMahon did not know about it, and he was pissed as hell about it, but it added to the moment. Again, just two guys who are masters of their craft being like, this thing's going to work. Screw it. We're doing it. Oh, beautiful. Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. And it's, chef's kiss. If you want an argument for having blood in wrestling, there it is. I mean, the moment itself is iconic as it is, the double turn, the sharpshooter. I mean, Austin sells it so well.
Yes.
But then you just put that crimson on. That's it. Times it by 1,000.
I'm not
amazing.
Up for gratuitous
violence. I've got
violence.
Goosebumps. I've got goosebumps thinking about
it's
it now.
So awesome. The only, I tell you what, you know what's close, and it's a match that you really love. The only, now this is a bit dramatic, but blood just adds so much to a match. That's a great example. And the Cody Dustin Rhodes match from Double or Nothing two years ago is also, it's just, again, I'm not one for gratuitous violence or gratuitous blood, but there are times when, like, a street fight or a last man standing match just adds something to a feud, and blood can just add something to a match, and it just heightens the drama and the intensity, and it's when it's overused, then it's whatever. But when it's used like that, ooh, again, chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. What a great pick. What a great pick. If that's not on many people's top tens, I'll be very, very surprised.
Can I ask, you didn't put it on it because you knew I was going to do it. If you knew I wasn't going to pick that match, where would it rank for you if you were putting your card together? It would still be behind your number one, right?
It would be.
Okay.
But it would be two.
Wow, really? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, fair.
Yes, very, very good match. Very good match. So I guess this is my pick, but we've already established what that is. Stone Cold Steve Austin, again, versus The Rock, WrestleMania 17. I know when people go back to this match, they focus on the end with the handshake, Stone Cold making a deal with the devil. I wasn't against it. I wasn't for it, but I also wasn't against it. It was something different, and it got people talking. But it's everything that came before it that I was happy with. Even before the match even kicked off, you had the My Way promo package.
It's my way!
Oh, see, I get goosebumps even thinking about that. It's just incredible. And the match itself was really fun. And that was another case of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Selling a feud because they were, it wasn't really a blood feud. It was quite respectful because they had an interview, like a sit down interview with Jim Ross. I think it was either the week before or 2 weeks before. And they were quite amicable with each other, but of course, you know, it was more like a friendly little rivalry. Yeah. And then just as that match started to wear on, his turn, and Austin just went ballistic with that chair. And it's just such a, it's just a great match. It's sports entertainment wrapped in a nice little bow. Two of my favorite wrestlers going at it, and you know, we're talking about sports entertainment. You throw that whole Vince angle in at the end as well. I'm for it. Like, it's a good match. It's a good story. Yeah, the ending is not for everybody. I didn't mind it. I would have rather Austin stayed a face throughout his run because that's where he excelled. But for the match itself, number one for me.
Good match. Awesome WrestleMania stage. Awesome WrestleMania ramp and walkway. Massive. Really good. Yeah, it's a good match. It's iconic for many reasons. I can remember being little me and just destroyed by the fact that Austin sided with Vince McMahon. That it was everything that I knew to be real and true was just... And again, at that point, I knew, like, I had known for a very long time that wrestling was, like, scripted. But still, I was just like, oh my God, like, my favorite character just became, like, a bad guy. Not even, like, a cool bad guy. Like, he sided with the guy who sucks. Like, oh, this sucks. Like, I was just so... And I always remember, I don't... You and I talked about this in a previous episode. I never... When I'm watching it live, I don't know if I wasn't paying attention or I didn't pick up on it. I never knew that, like, they changed the stipulation of the match and became no DQ. Yeah. Like, I should have picked up on that. I don't remember it being announced in the beginning or middle or right before the match when JR says it. I had no idea. So then when he started wailing on him, I was like, oh, it's done. And then I was like, wait, what? And I did not remember that happening. Oh, man.
So good.
Oh, the Rock so sucks. I'm
just kidding. Excuse me.
Oh, man. That's a good match. It's a good pick. And, of course, as you mentioned, I did not list this on my list because I knew – you were listing it on yours. If I don't know where I'd put this one for me. I'd have to really think about it. I don't know where it would be. It's definitely in my top 10, but I don't know where. It's definitely not my number two because I know what my number two is.
I know what your number two is as well. So
do you want to guess what it is?
Let's rip that Band-Aid off, shall we?
Don't guess what it is because just in case it's not, I don't want to have anything in your head or give you any of your so back and forth. It's also from WrestleMania 17, and you mentioned it a little bit already. It is the tag team title TLC match. Is that what you were gonna guess?
It was, and it was also my number two. So I will remove that from my.
That's why I wanted to go first because I had a feeling it would be your number two. Yeah, that match. I mean, it was TLC 2. The first one was technically not a TLC match. It was just basically like a ladder match that involved tables and chairs, and it happened at SummerSlam. Oh, my God, that match. I don't know what I like more, the Jeff Hardy swanton off the ladder through the tables, Bubba and Matt getting thrown off the ladder from the ring, going over the ropes and through double tables. But, I mean, Jeff Hop, the best. Oh my God, there's so many awesome spots and great moments in that match. Rhino and Spike and Lita, but it's got to be Jeff trying to walk the ladders and then hopping and then getting caught and then dangling and then turning and then spear. Edge's spear isn't perfect. I actually hate Edge's spear. I feel like he catches people and it does no damage, but that's beside the point. I don't care. The man executed a spear from the top of a ladder onto a man that was swinging from the titles. Oh, just this match was so... And because the first TLC match was so epic and so awesome, there was so much expectation in this match because of what the first one did, combined with it being for the titles again and on WrestleMania, on the grandest stage of them all, so on and so forth. I'm getting goosebumps again. I'm probably going to get goosebumps for every single one of these. God, that match was just... I think that might be the first match that I remember, especially again because I was little, where like I had never seen spots like that. Like the Hardys introduced me to a whole new world of like wrestling with the spots that they did. And then combined with the Dudleys and Edge and Christian, man, that's one of the greatest matches of all time. Not even just WrestleMania-wise. Like what that match did with its story combined with the spots and the execution, oh, and the intensity, that one is, oh man, that it's just so good for so many levels. I'm sorry it was your two and I took it.
Unbelievable. This is the nature of the draft. It's the nature of the draft. It's such a good match. Like, I don't think I can add anything really to it that you said. I just remember being a kid and watching that and just being completely mind blown seeing all that unfold. Because, like, yeah, I'd never seen anything like that before. And it was just like, give me more of that, please. And we TLCs. Well, that's the thing. TLCs aren't like that anymore.
No. You don't get that. And it's understandable. It's hard to do stuff like that just in general. You had a perfect combination of the athleticism and the ability. Again, even leading up to that, like, I'm not even talking just like the use of a ladder. Like, I watched ECW a ton going into that, and I'd seen ladders a bunch, but they were used more as like pure weaponry. I wasn't seeing people climb to the top of a giant ladder and jump off it in a certain way or get speared off the top. Like, even with the ladders that ECW used, they were like smaller, maybe 6 foot ladders or 8 foot, the kind you can just get in like a general store. Because again, a lot of their shows were in the ECW arena, which has a small ceiling. So you couldn't have like a 15 foot ladder like the Hardys were using. And oh man, just, oh God, that match is also chef's kiss. I love it. I'm very excited that they were my top two. I was even more excited because in putting this list together, I went back to watch all these matches. And it was just enjoyable just to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, it's a good time.
So I wish I had the time to go, because I was actually going to do that. That was my plan, to go through and watch them all, but I just didn't have time to do it. But that's awesome that you did. And that's good.
I had to do it over fresh. A little bit. And I did it over – I didn't have enough time in like one sitting. I had to do it progressively over like days. And then especially because those were my hardcore top two. But I also wanted to rewatch because three – through 10 for me, even again, I have a hard 13. 3 through 13 are almost very interchangeable. Even right now, I'm still debating like which one, even if the next one that you pick isn't on my list, I'm still having a hard time deciding what number 3 is going to be.
Yeah, I'm looking at my list right now. Like, as you've been speaking, I've just been, well, that could be there and that could go there. It's very tough. And actually, are you writing these down?
Can be.
Yes.
I can be.
Classic. We are pro podcasters, professional podcasters.
All right. So Dits. Anthony. Anthony's one. Brett versus Austin.
Recap.
Dits is number one. Beth Phoenix versus. That'd be funny. I'm like, no, you picked that, bro. Okay. I've got the picks.
Well, whilst you're catching up on the writing, I'm going to drop mine number two.
I'm ready.
I think a lot of people label this not only, well, not, I wouldn't say people label this as the best match of all time, but they certainly label it in the region of best WrestleMania match of all time.
Damn,
and rightfully
so. I know
so.
Which one you're going to pick. I didn't think you'd go this early with it, though.
Undertaker.
Fuck.
Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 25.
Oh, okay.
Not 26. It is professional wrestling, sports entertainment at its very, very best. Two guys in their peaks. You know, Shawn Michaels, you know, this was his second run, and arguably his better run, to be honest. You know, Undertaker was definitely in his prime at this point, but still capable of throwing out some fantastic matches. And that's exactly what they delivered here. It was really good back and forth. Both of them came out looking like stars. Of course they did. Had some crazy spots, like Taker's little dive over. I mean,
that he almost died on.
He almost died, but it was it's still a visual. It's still a visual, and we still see that to this day. And the ending of the match where Taker catches him and drops him in the two. Oh, The whole thing from start to finish.
He catches him off the moonsault, right?
That's right, yeah. And then bang, drops him. 1, 2, 3. Like, it's just masterful stuff. It really is.
Amazing.
And again, it's one of those things, if you're going to recommend any WrestleMania matches, that is one that will appear in probably everybody's list, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really want to talk too much about the follow-up at 26, because it may or may not feature and the rest of the draft, but for me, this was the better of the two. And that's always always a conversation, isn't it? Which one was the better?
That's a very big conversation. And this is also a conversation of where gamesmanship comes in drafting certain things. Because, like, I know I can leave matches that I might have higher up on my ranking, but I know that you won't say them, so I'll leave them down further. And segue, we love segues. My number three is Shawn versus Taker from WrestleMania 26, which I think is the better of the two. I was not watching WWE at this time. When I got back into When I got back into WWE, I think like 2013, 14, something like that. And one of my buddies was like catching me up and he was like, oh, you got to go back and watch the whole like Shawn Michaels Undertaker, like WrestleMania aspect. I was like, oh, that was cool. And I watched 25 and I thought it was good. I also deduct some points from 25 because Taker almost died, but still fantastic match. Amazing. But 26, man, the streak versus the career. Oh, dude, I got even just how they. The video package for that is arguably the greatest video package of all time. Shawn getting presented with that whatever award by Triple H and for match of the year for their 25 match. And he accepts the award and says, thank you. And then he goes to walk off stage and he stops. And then the music in the video package starts to change. And he comes back. He's like, you know what, Undertaker, I can beat you. And then he tries to win the Rumble so he can fight Taker at Mania because he challenges Taker and Taker says no. So he's like, I know what I have to do. I have to win the Rumble. And he doesn't win the Rumble. And then he slowly descends into madness because all he can think about is Taker. Him and Triple H lose this big important tag team match. And then Shawn costs Taker the title in the Elimination Chamber, which makes Taker be like, all right, cool, I'll accept. But you know what? You got to put your career on the line. Career on the line, and there's just so many spots in that match, but you get the, oh, I got goosebumps thinking about it, man. He hits the tombstone. Oh, he cutthroats, hits the tombstone, folds the arms, flips the hair, rolls the eyes, and Shawn Michaels kicks the F out.
It's Taker's face. The reaction to that as well, where
he's shocked.
The
disbelief is beautiful. And then the end, Michaels has nothing left, but he won't give up. And Taker is standing, like, looking over him. And Shawn, like, pulls himself up to Taker's waist. Oh, God. And he And he looks at Taker. And Taker's just kind of like looking at him, and Shawn looks right into Taker's eyes, and Shawn does the cutthroat. And then Taker's eyes widen, like, oh, you, and slings him up again. Tombstone, 1, 2, 3. Oh, it's, I understand why people go 25. For me, it's 26, but 25 is a very close. It's almost like a 1A, 1B. I got no qualms either way, but yeah. Those are like arguably, yeah, you hit it with 25, and you can throw 26 in that boat. Like, it's easy to point and be like, these are in the conversation for like greatest WrestleMania match of all time, without a doubt. It just, and two, again, you mentioned it, two dudes who had great runs and who Taker was still killing it. Like, it's just two of the best in the business to ever do it, putting on just a clinic in every single way.
Beautiful. Oof. So good. So good. In 26's favor, I do prefer the build to 26. And yes. I think that feeds into the match very, very well.
But to your point, though, you, or what you said earlier, you can't have 26 without having 25.
Yeah.
And to be fair, in my ranking, WrestleMania 25, Shawn vs. Taker is fifth on my list.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm.
Drama.
Mm. You ready for a bombshell for my third?
Oh, no.
Shane versus The Miz, Last Man Standing, or whatever it was, Fall Count Anywhere.
Great Khali versus.
Wrestling is very subjective, okay?
Yes.
This would appear on some people's lists, but unlike the other ones that have shown up, nowhere near as many. But for me, like,
it's, but that's fair because these are our lists.
Exactly,
these are our drafts.
It's, for me, this is such an enjoyable match, and it's just so far different from what one of the guys did the previous year. And something that he hasn't really done, he was welcomed into the other guy's little area of expertise. Edge versus Mick Foley, WrestleMania 22.
Oh, you son of a... Oh, damn it. Good call, bro.
Where did you have this?
1, 2, 3, 6.
Oh.
I mean, granted, I'm fine with interchanging a whole bunch. But yeah, I love that they, I mean, I'll let you talk. I just love that the hardcore aspect of it and the violence of it, but then Edge gets the win and it's like solidified him even more. Like he can go toe to toe with Mick. Like, yeah. Oh God. What I didn't have in my notes what Mania that was from. What Mania is that?
That's 22.
good pick, man.
It's such a fun hardcore match. And I think it's correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's actually the last match that is actually labeled a hardcore match.
Oh, it might be, yeah.
I don't remember anything past this match ever being called that again.
It's all, no, it's everything is just like street fight or no DQ or whatever the hell.
Good pick. It's just so well done. And Mick Foley, you got to think, at this point, Mick Foley is very, very limited to what he can do. But he is so good in this. Edge is his usual great self. And the finish. Ooh, the finish is...
Tell him about it.
It's unbelievable. Like the spear. I mean, you think Big E's spears through the ropes these days are crazy dangerous, and they are. But spearing a dude
not like this
through the ropes onto a flaming table, something completely different. And it's just Edge's sell of that spear as well, where he's just literally sat on the ramp, just shaking, and like there's no celebration. It's just like he's been through a war, and he's literally had to put a man through a pit of fire to win. It's so good. It is so good, and I know many people probably put this a little, if it is in their top tens, it'll be a bit lower. Or it wouldn't feature at all, but it's just such a fun match for me, and I love the hell out of it. And there's a few of those matches like this in my top 10, as you'll find. I just love it. I just love it. And I'm glad it had a place in your 10 as well.
Yeah, for sure. The build is good. I'm not a big Edge fan, as I've stated multiple times on the pod, but I love this match. The build for this match is good. The match itself is good. It's violent, but it tells a story. It cements the blood feud and the intensity and the hatred that they have for each other. And then, dude, yeah, like, I can still fully, oh, man, fully on the Edge, pulling himself up. Edge, like, waiting, and you know he's going to hit the spear, but you're like, oh, whatever. And then Lita comes and just, and it just, oh, and it's a good... Here's also, I got goosebumps. I'm going to keep getting goosebumps. I don't know why I keep saying it. As a person who's watched a lot of ECW and watched the Dudleys do a lot of flaming tables, it is very easy to not get the table to light. Even if you cover it in a ton of lighter fluid, if the table's cracked or it's not done the right way, it won't light. This table light is beautiful. You literally watch her as soon as she puts the flame to it, it engulfs the whole table. It's got a good burn and a good flame to it. Yeah, and then Edge just spears him right. Oh, God. Good choice.
So good. It's so good.
All right. Now I got to go with number 4. I don't think I mentioned this on air. I think I mentioned it off air. So, again, I've got a hard 13, but I've only got 12 wrestlers that feature in those matches. So you're going to start to see some people who tend to repeat here a little bit. But now, again, gamesmanship, I got to decide – I think the next one that I want to say, I don't think you'll say it, so I'm not going to say it. The one that I'm going to say is one that I think you will say, and it's also going to hurt your heart.
Strategy.
And I feel bad for doing this one, because it's, I think it's your two favorite wrestlers. I'm going with WrestleMania 21, Shawn Michaels versus Kurt Angle.
God!
No. I know. I'm sorry. But it's...
I'll chuff that one off the list then, shall I?
It's such a good match. You get to see them go toe-to-toe with one another. Shawn does a lot of technical stuff in the beginning. They tell a good story. It's a good build, as all these matches are. Two of the best of all. I'm sorry. You should do that as the promo for this episode. It's just that, like that 10 seconds. Oh, it's really good. And then Shawn gets caught at the end going for the super kick again, and Angle makes him tap. And it's Angle showing that he could be on the big stage with Shawn Michaels. He does athletic things and does things that the Showstopper would do. I don't think it's the first time, but we get a really good and hard Shawn Michaels elbow drop with Kurt Angle on the table. Michaels jumps off from the outside to put the elbow through into the announce table, but I don't think the table breaks. It's like hard and it hurts. He also does that in the WrestleMania 26 match against Taker. Yeah, it's a phenomenal match. Feel free to give me – I know you probably like this match even more than I do, so feel free to also add your thoughts. And once again, I'm sorry.
It's a wrestling masterclass. Kurt Angle is – I mean, you know my love Kurt Angle. He's in my he's on my Rushmore. Shawn Michaels, not so much.
Okay.
I appreciate Shawn Michaels and, you know, his ability and all that kind of stuff, but Shawn Michaels was never my guy, but Kurt Angle – absolutely is. And I'm going to actually shock you with some information right now. I only watched that match for the very first time last year.
Oh, my goodness. Was it on your list for this episode?
Yes. I've knocked it off now in disgust. it would have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th. It's very, very good. It's very, very good. A technical masterpiece.
It's again, it was down the card a little more for me, but I knew it would make it into yours somehow, so I picked it now to head it off at the pass.
Yeah, it's a real dick move.
Whoops.
And I can't even steal it. But I guess I'll move past the sadness. That is that pick, and I'll go with my number four, the final pick of this draft that cannot be stolen. And we're going to keep with Shawn Michaels, because this time he faces off against Ric Flair.
I was wondering when you take it from WrestleMania 24. Correct. That is also on my list.
I don't even really need to go deep into this because everybody knows.
I love you.
Exactly, that this match is...
Bang!
Sweet chin music. Oh, it's...
And Flair is crying just with the, like, come on, just do it. He's trying to put his fist up and he's just like, come on, oh, God. And his family's at ringside and they're all crying.
I feel like there's a trend as well to every pick that we've done so far. The ending ties in. Well, that seems to be the most important aspect of each one. Yes.
You have to have a big ending fit for the biggest stage.
Exactly.
It's got to tie it off.
And this is what you could arguably not get bigger than this. Like, it's so huge. Everybody knows it. People that don't even follow wrestling probably know of this ending. It's perfect. What a perfect way to send off Ric Flair. Unfortunately, he did end up, I believe, wrestling in TNA. But we forget about that. That's not canon. Didn't happen. But Ric Flair, like, to his credit, you know... I mean, how old was he? Late 50s, early 60s or something?
I don't know what... I might be wrong. I feel like he was 62. And that number sticks in my head. I need to look it up.
I think you're right, actually. 60s.
Ric Flair was born in 1949. Keep that number in your head. 1949.
1949.
And WrestleMania 24 was in 2008.
59?
Yep.
Not far off. 3 years.
Yeah, he was 59.
But still, a 59-year-old putting on a clinic at WrestleMania. Crazy.
Especially a 59-year-old body that's been wrestling for like over 30-something years and did a lot of hard drugs and alcohol along the way and did not take care of himself.
Yeah. And yeah, to see what he was able to pull. I mean, he was always going to go all out for his, big send off. But who better to do it with than Shawn Michaels as well? Somebody who could carry Ric Flair through that thing. It's beautiful. It's such a beautiful little ending. And the way, as soon as the referee counts three, Shawn just dives on him, just hugging it. And he leaves the ring as well, just to leave it for real. It's just so good.
As he gets the three, he hugs his like head to head. Yeah. Oh, it's so sad. I'm sorry. I love you. Oh. Man.
It's so good. It's so good. It
really is.
Yeah. I could not have that away from my top five. Couldn't do it. So,
man,
you ain't stealing that. However, no. I could steal your next one. As we move into round five.
I still gotta go with some gamesmanship here, but I'm no, because I'm pretty comfortable with, hold on here, one. Damn, I'm very torn again, because I still think the ones that I really want to include as my, like, that I have as my three and my four and my five, I think I can get them later because you won't pick them. We'll see. I'm going to go with this next one. I'm going to stick true to myself here. I'm going to... Oh, I'm so torn right now. This is so hard. No, I got to play the gamesmanship because I know I can get some of these later. I'm going with Taker versus Triple H with Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee from WrestleMania 28. This match is a good match in and of itself. Again, the build... Triple H trying to do what Shawn couldn't, which was end Undertaker's streak. Shawn is the ref. There's an extra drama added to it with that. It's inside Hell in the Cell. And it's got arguably my favorite wrestling moment of all time in this match. And it's the greatest near fall in wrestling history for me. Oh, Taker puts Shawn in Hell's Gate. Because he's like all freaked out after. Because at one point, Triple H has this match in hand. He's beating Taker within like an inch of his life. And he's telling Shawn, call it. Call the match. Call the match. And Shawn is like super conflicted. And he gets to Taker and he's like, yo, you like, I'm going to call the match. You got to do something. I'm going to call the match. You got to do something. And Taker responds to that by grabbing him and he puts him in Hell's Gate. And then he and Triple H fight some more. And this is, I don't have the timestamp written down. But this happens at roughly like the 32, 33 minute mark. So this match has been going for a half an hour, and it's a legit half an hour. So the spot I'm about to talk about, which everybody should know, it happens at a point where you think the match is going to be done. And that spot is, oh, look at the eyebrow raise from you. You hit it. Oh, major goosebumps again. Shawn Sweet Chin Music's Taker, who gets hit and turns and falls backwards into Triple H, who kicks him in the gut and hits the pedigree, and then gets on top, and Shawn hits the one, he hits the two, and as he gets this close from the mat, Taker kicks out, and Hunter is beside himself, and Shawn gets up and holds his hands over his face, and he starts freaking out, and then he goes into the corner, and he's just like, yep, freaking out because of what he just did, but not only because of what he just did, but because Taker kicked out and could not be beaten again. And again, this happens at a point in the match where you think the match, man, this match has been going on for a while. It's got to end soon. And then that sequence, between the timing of it And the fact that he got hit with sweet chin music and the pedigree, everyone and their mother watching and in that arena thought the match was done.
Yes.
Done. Oh, man. Awesome. I'm sorry again because I figured this was probably on your list.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Talk about it.
So good. So good. I'm very tempted to steal.
Oh.
Mm.
That's fine. I can just end this call.
A solo draft that from here on out. Let's go.
If you wanted to, I mean, I understand.
I know there's a lot of other good WrestleMania matches that are up for stealing as well that I think you might go with. Mm-hmm. But I'm very tempted. So good. It's so good. And just, yeah, that whole... I mean, that's another thing that gets replayed so many times, and rightfully so. And even after that match is done, they're all spent, and that, you know, they have that little moment at the top of the ramp as well. Just again, another thing that as soon as the bell is done and the match is over, you know, they have that little moment. That this is going to happen quite a lot on this list, I think. But yeah, so good, and I'm gutted that you've gone with that. I am.
I'm sorry. I love you.
Yes. See what you did there. You fucking. So we got, 1, 2, 3. What was it? This is my fifth.
Yeah, this is your five.
This also falls into the whole, I just enjoyed the absolute hell out of it, and that's why it's ranked so highly against other matches that typically would. And should probably be ahead of it, but I enjoyed the hell out of this. WrestleMania 31 is one of my favorite WrestleManias. This was the first WrestleMania I watched since coming back to WWE. So we're the same.
Okay.
Like, we kind of left WWE around the same time and came back around. I think I came back just before you did. So I was a month or two after WrestleMania 30. I think is when I came back. So I was like gunning for this. This was my first WrestleMania since 2005.
Big moment.
So I don't know if I have those goggles on. Mm. And that's why I love it so much. But it's a fantastic show. It's really, really good. But it's capped off with what I think is an incredible main event between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar for the WWE title. And then it becomes a triple threat later on in the match. But this is Brock doing Brock things in this match. And this was around the time when I still am. Yeah, you know, I I'm a big fan of Brock Lesnar.
Are you? I've never heard you say that.
Yeah. Believe it or not. And this was at the point where I was really into the whole, you know, that all he does is German suplexes and just throws guys around. Like I was there. And the Suplex City thing was born. Suplex City, bitch.
I would say this is the match where it happens.
Yeah,
Suplex City, bitch. Yep.
It's amazing, and the way Roman Reigns is just laughing everything off. It's, I mean, at this point, I was like Roman Reigns, but in this match, I was just like, you know what? He's playing his part, and it's awesome.
They just beat the hell out of each other.
They do. It's very hard hitting. And then Seth Rollins comes down. Was not expecting it. Huge pop. He comes sprinting down to the ring. It becomes a triple threat because he cashes in his Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank.
That's what Otis called it when he won.
Yeah. Might as well have.
Money in the Bank.
The heist of the century, as they call it. Incredible moment. Incredible moment. Brock beside himself. Roman beside himself. Seth Rollins stood at that top of the rank, cheeky little grin, spinning that thing around, holding it up, fireworks in the back. Ah, it's such a fun match, and the Money in the Bank aspect of it as well just adds even more to it. It's just amazing. It's awesome. Pick number five.
Good pick. Have you also seen the video where they have the audio from the ring, and as Seth pins Roman, he tells him thank you so much?
Yes.
Really cool. Really cool. Just adds to the gravitas of that moment of to like how much that meant to Seth. And yeah, that's, dude, like thinking of it too, like again, for those who don't know, like Seth Rollins was in Ring of Honor and then he went to FCW or whatever NXT was called before it was NXT. And yeah, then he was NXT and then he was in like he is a wrestling like lifer, huge fan as a kid. He's not, no disrespect to like Brock or Roman, even though Roman's got the family lineage. Wrestling, being a professional wrestler, wasn't like the career choice of Brock and Roman when they were like 5 years old, but like it was for Seth Rollins. So the fact that he gets to cash in at WrestleMania, like the greatest cash in of all time, it's arguably one of the best WrestleMania moments ever. Yeah. Like, not to mention earlier in that show, he gets hit with the greatest RKO ever of the curb stomp. Beautiful. I actually thought he was going to cash in. When he lost to Orton, I was like, they're not going to have – he's the new golden boy. They're not going to have him take a loss at Mania and not have him rebound. I was like, he's got to cash in. And I was watching this show at a bar that would show – in New York that would show every WWE pay-per-view. And it was me and like eight of my boys. And when that – oh, dude, when his music hit – that bar erupted like it was wild. Like everybody lost their mind when he, and we were all like looking at each other like, oh my God. And like grabbing each other, like shaking the hell out of each other. Like it was just wild. Like, yeah, that's a good pick.
Great.
Son of a bitch.
Was that in your 10?
No, but it was in my next round of groupings after my 13. Because of the cash-in moment. And also, again, that match is fun. There's some real blood, not because it was planned, but just because they really hit the hell out of each other. It was a good physical match. And what's cool about that, of how physical it was, the next night when Brock comes out to attack Seth, which is awesome, you can see all the cuts that Brock has on his face from all the shots he took from Reigns. It was really good. Okay. Maybe you won't take that one, but I can't risk it. Okay, my number 6, WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon, ladder match for the Intercontinental title. It is the match for many people, I don't think just myself in saying that, that put ladder matches on the map. This match was in Madison Square Garden. It was a good feud, great build, so many good spots, but also like they didn't just use the ladder for pure spots. They used the ladder to like weaken each other's limbs and certain parts of the body. So the psychology in the match was good. Razor comes away with the win, but this was another in a long line of many things for Shawn Michaels, but this was a match, and I hate Shawn Michaels, but this was a match that put him like even more like, hey, this can be the guy. This is going to be the guy in a couple years. And it did great things for Razor Ramon, a.k.a. Scott Hall, who is super underrated, I think, in the pantheon of wrestlers, both in WWE and WCW. And I think his WCW career and his whole Scott Hall persona, I think a lot of people forget about how good he was as Razor Ramon in WWF. And I would have – this was my number 4 match, but I didn't think you'd take it. But I thought there was a chance you might. And since we're in the back half of things now, I decided to go with it. But I love the hell out of this match. Plus, Shawn is wearing the blue tights with the white boots, which he didn't do too often. It's a really good match quality. Madison Square Garden, ladder match for the – you just didn't see that a lot back then. I remember being little watching it and being like, oh, my God, a ladder. What are they going to do with that ladder? Oh, man. And then I saw the things that were – oh, yeah, it's a really good match.
That was in my reserves. I think 13, I think that falls out.
Okay.
Now that I've taken things out because you've taken them from me, I can't really give you an accurate number.
Well, it should have been higher on your list, but it isn't because you have bad taste, so I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
That's why I'm on the show.
And that's why I'm going to steal it. No, I'm not going to do that. But no,
and that's why I'm hanging up.
Yeah. Bye. No, it's a very, very good match. It's only a match that I've seen once as well. I think 2 or 3 years ago I watched that for the first time. So maybe if I'd seen it a couple more times, it probably may have featured in my 10. Mm. But it is very, very good. It is very, very good. So very good pick. Very good pick.
Thank you. Shite it.
It pains me to say it, but it is true. This is my sixth pick. Yeah, so I don't know if any other women's match will feature in our picks. And it pains me to say that, because you look at the talent that WWE has and has had previously as well. They just weren't given, you know, the right time and opportunities.
And they would just miss. Even like that women's triple threat with Ronda and Charlotte and Becky should have been amazing. And it was not. Not only was it just meh,
Charlotte was
bad.
The issue. Like, I hate to bang that drum, but if it was just Becky and Ronda, different story.
But it was bad.
But beside that, that's what I've gone for. No, it's not.
but regardless, it's my next
this is definitely the best women's match to ever feature at WrestleMania, and it is Asuka versus Charlotte.
Oh,
WrestleMania 34. Sorry, it was the best match on the card.
Agree.
The fact that I actually can't remember that much of the rest of the card speaks volumes. It's very, very good. I disagree with the finish.
Hate it, and that's what ruins. Sorry, continue.
Oh no, I echo that. Like it
ruins the whole match for me. It makes me forget about how great the rest of the match was. The finish itself, and then the Charlotte was ready for Asuka. You really had to do that. Also, we had to do that in addition to just. Oh,
so painful, but I can thankfully see through that, and it's so good. Like, if you want to showcase women's wrestling, and Charlotte at this point, you know, had already proven what she could do. Asuka, you know, is amazing and always will be amazing. Throw those two together, you're gonna get magic, and that's exactly what we had. It's just so good that we had. Finally, I mean, there may have been other women's matches prior to this. In fact, I have one in my reserves. I'm trying to think back to maybe Mickie James and Trish. I can't remember if they had
that's a good one.
WrestleMania. That was a good match.
Yep, that's but a
like,
good one.
If you were to try and pick out women's matches on a WrestleMania card that would feature in people's top tens, I think you would struggle. And that's bad. That is bad. But that's just, unfortunately, you know, the way. You know, things are within, you know, WWE's history, but that's changing now, and potentially you could have some top tens from this year alone, or maybe even saying that even last year we had Rhea Ripley and Charlotte tear it up.
So you know what's funny is all WWE has had so many great women's matches. First of all, they should have more than they've had, but all the good ones they've had and the great ones they've had, other than this one, haven't been at a Mania. Like, a lot of them are NXT, or they were at Takeovers. I think of even Sasha versus Asuka, but that was at Royal Rumble, the Royal Rumble that Becky won. That match I thought was phenomenal between Sasha and Asuka. That was at a Rumble. Like, there hasn't been, like, you haven't had a women's match that had a WrestleMania moment that was like a great match besides Asuka and Charlotte.
Yeah.
Which is weird to say, considering, again.
Apart from one, but I'm not going to say it just in case I need to pull it out. But I will say, if it doesn't come to it, I'll tell you at the end of the episode.
You can tell me now, it's not on my thing.
But it could appear on my list.
Oh, yeah, but I won't say it.
But I don't want to reveal when it would appear on
my
list. Oh,
got it. Fair enough.
You see.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mm-hmm. Say no more. It's just a flesh wound.
But no, it's absolutely right. You know, if this is the one.
Yeah.
But, you know, and potentially, you know, that could change this year with Sasha and Bel Air. Could do.
That would be cool. They could do some really good things. I'm interested to see how they mesh, because Bianca is a physical specimen in terms of size and strength. She's, and Sasha is
and
much
speed
smaller.
And athleticism. She is insane.
Well, yeah, she was a I think she was a Division I, which is like the top college rank level in the United States, sprinter, or she ran track. She did something that was very athletically impressive.
Hurdles, and I think she's done as well.
Oh, there you go. That's it. She was a hurdler. And yeah, she's strong. She's fast. She's athletic. She's got size. Like, she, I love Sasha, but if you just look at the two, like if I had to pick a fight in real life, I'd be like, oh God, Bianca's going to kill her. Even that's no disrespect to Sasha, who is also in tremendous shape, a tremendous technically sound wrestler. She's also cut, but Bianca is cut in the same way and also like a female Braun Strowman. She's a mind. And I mean that as a massive compliment. She is a – yeah, she's a tremendous athlete. Yeah. And yeah, it's going to be a good match. That could be really cool.
So it could trump Asuka and Charlotte. But Asuka and Charlotte is my number six.
Good pick.
Over to you. Number seven.
We've each got four picks left now. This is where – again, more gamesmanship comes in.
Strategery.
I know there's three matches that I have ranked higher than this next match that I'm going to pick. Here's a little peek behind the fourth wall a little bit. I've got three more that are higher, but I know you won't say any of them.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say it now. Then I've got two that I like almost equally, but one of them has a person that I don't really want to speak about. So I'm going to pick the other one. I'm going to go with Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle from WrestleMania 20.
Good pick. Sorry,
as I write that down. I love the finish of this match, which is Eddie unlacing his boot so that when Kurt goes for the ankle lock again, Eddie can slip out of it. And then Kurt just kind of looks at the shoe and charges Eddie, and Eddie rolls him up and gets the pin, which you never see, like a roll-up pin. Oh, it was just clever. And again, Eddie being Eddie with his smart ring psychology and deceitfulness, it's just fantastic. But the rest of the match, oh, Angle hits a couple of his like patented like top rope, run up and catch Eddie and belly-to-belly him and run up, hit an Angle slam off the top. Just he hits a couple of those, much like he did in the match against Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 21 the year after. But it's just two of the best of all time, Eddie Guerrero, Kurt Angle, another one in Madison Square Garden, grandest stage of them all. Like, not only is it at Mania, it's in the Garden. Eddie gets the win, but it's a technically sound match. It's a good-paced match with a good story and, again, a good build, a really unique and clever finish that puts a very nice bow on an athletically and technically sound match leading all the way up. A lot of good spots, good pacing, good story, really cool finish and unique. That's my number seven.
And I think it really cemented Eddie Guerrero's it was an undisputed title at that point, wasn't it? His reign, essentially. So
yeah, Kurt was the more established dude.
Yeah.
And you go into this thing, pay-per-view, thinking like, is Eddie really going to beat Kurt Angle at WrestleMania? Like, is he gonna? And they let him do it.
Amazing. It's
was this match on your list?
It was on my list. Yes. Oh, so.
Sorry.
It's the way. This seems to be the way.
You know the other match that I was talking about that I'm not going to say?
I think so.
It's also from that pay-per-view.
Triple Threat, which...
Yeah.
Yeah. Understandably. But I'm going to keep things on the Kurt Angle front here, going into my seventh pick. And I'm going to include a match where he's paired against somebody else who has also appeared on my list. I'm going for Kurt Angle versus Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania 19.
Oh, where Brock almost kills himself.
Where Brock almost kills himself. Another match that is fondly remembered for the ending, which was very painful to watch and still is very painful to watch. And there's a few things in it. I mean, it's a great match. Between these two, their chemistry is unbelievable. Like, I would have I don't know if it would have worked because of Brock Lesnar's style now, but I would have loved Brock and Kurt to go at it for Kurt's last match. And
I
honestly think that could have worked. I think Brock may have had to tone it down a little bit, but I think it would have worked. So yeah, it's a shame we didn't get that, but
yeah.
yeah, their chemistry is undeniable. They have it's like out of the ring, in ring, they're just the match itself just flows incredibly well. Like Brock Lesnar comes out of this thing a star. But then when you think about everything going that goes into this, you know, Kurt Angle was nursing neck issues, and I think as soon as this mm-hmm. match was done, he went away, had surgery. So you got that yep. playing into it, and he was still able to put on this great show. And then you've got obviously the Brock issue. goes for a
shooting. He hit that shooting star a bunch, and I saw the clips of him
it's
like
so
in practice.
Odd. It's
in
so
FCW.
Weird, isn't it? It's such a
just
weird
couldn't.
Sight.
He got too much. He went to all the ones he'd hit before. He went more straight up and then yeah. flipped and then hit it. This one, he tries to go out first before he goes up.
Kurt is so far away, though. That's an issue.
Yeah, that's
well.
Exactly why he feels like he has to go out more in his jump instead of straight up, which you should never do in a shooting star press. Even anybody who – even like Billy Kidman, who was the first one I ever saw do a shooting star press, and it was beautiful. You have to be like almost kitty corner to the turnbuckle so they yeah. can just go straight up and flip and land. Yeah, I thought I thought he like broke his neck or died. I saw him land and I remember yelling at the TV. Like I was like, ah, like I was freaked out. Like I thought, yeah, he was donezo. That looked so, and maybe if you don't have a neck like Brock Lesnar's, maybe that ends up being yeah. a lot worse than it could have been.
It's just the way it was. He lands. And then the moment he lands, like it's like a desperate claw for Kurt. And then like I've seen loads of stuff on the network that detail the whole thing. Like, he's, like, cuckoo.
Yep, he's got no idea.
It's like, he's got no idea. Like, he is seeing stars, and he's still able to get Kurt up for an F5 and pick up the win. And, yeah, it's a good match. Would you say it's tarnished a little bit by that finish? I don't think it is.
I don't think it's tarnished. For me, at least for me, it doesn't tarnish it. And I don't think for other people, but I will say that spot overshadows the whole match. People don't remember how good of a match that was. They only think, again, like if we're talking about the WrestleMania 19 match, or even if you just say like Brock and Kurt, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, the shooting star press.
Yeah.
Where he almost like killed himself. That one. Yeah, that's what they're going to talk about. I think it overshadows. I don't think it tarnishes, but I definitely think it overshadows to the point that I would bet there's a decent amount of people that have just seen that clip and not seen the whole match.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair.
Which is unfortunate because to your point, and obviously why you picked it, it's a really good match. Like two of, like real wrestling, two of the best wrestlers of all time, an Olympic gold medalist and a national champion, combined with the fact that they're also two of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, combined with the fact that they're also tremendous athletes, these were guys that were almost like made to work with one another, especially at that time. Like Brock wasn't the big bulky Brock like you see now. He was more just like a steroided, not that he did steroids, but more just like a steroided up Kurt Angle. Like he was just a taller, more bulky version of Kurt, but he was still fluid and limber and obviously able to execute a shooting star press or at least get very close to it. Yeah, really good match. Really. Oh, I would have loved to see them go some more. That would have been cool.
Yeah, and it's a shame people forget this Brock.
A lot of people that don't recognize that Brock. They just see him as the Brock that he's been ever since he was a part-timer and fighting Cena and Triple H and then being the person that he is now.
I honestly wouldn't put it past many people to only think that Brock has been in post UFC.
I can see that.
Because WWE don't even mention it that much.
Like, no, they don't really talk about his first run.
Which is strange. I don't understand why, because like he was. I know, obviously, the whole moniker of the next big thing, but he really was.
He was my favorite wrestler.
He was, yeah. He was one of my favorite as well. Like, unbelievable.
He has one of the coolest. The one that cemented it for me with him. It's him versus Undertaker in Hell in a Cell.
Oh,
and Taker has him up for.
Is that Unforgiven?
I think so.
With the cast.
Oh. On Taker, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And I remember I'm watching it with my buddy who loved Undertaker. And Taker has Brock in the tombstone, and Brock is able to wiggle and like flip back out of it, and he's got Taker up for the tombstone. And in one motion, he doesn't struggle. He doesn't have to bend his body. He literally takes the Undertaker, who's a very large man. He takes him from the tombstone position and literally throws him up on his shoulders, catches him, F5, 1, 2, 3. That got me out of my... It was, granted, it was easy for me as well, especially being an ECW guy. Paul Heyman was my ride or die. And so Paul Heyman introduced this guy whose first feud was with Rob Van Dam, another ECW guy. I loved him. So I was all about Brock Lesnar. But when he did that, yo, like, hoist, catch, and it's so fluid, so athletic, so strong. And then F5, dude, done. Donezo. Man, yeah, he was awesome. They really don't – I wonder if it's also because, like, Vince doesn't – part of the reason – this is a discussion for another time, but the rumor is like part of the reason Vince doesn't want to launch another superstar the way he did Austin and The Rock is because The Rock left for Hollywood, and then the next person that they did after that was Brock Lesnar, who just up and decided one day, I don't want to do this anymore, and he bounced.
Yeah.
So Vince is like gun shy of trying to build someone to that elite status other than Cena, but he knew Cena like he had him. Because he's afraid that he's going to lose him again one day. And I wonder if that also plays into it. Like, he doesn't want to acknowledge the fact that, like, Brock – because to acknowledge that, you have to also acknowledge that Brock Lesnar left. And I don't think he wants to do that.
Good point. Very good.
It's kind of like when they do, like, oh, AJ Styles debuting. He's never wrestled anywhere ever before in his life. And you're like, what, what?
He may have wrestled somewhere else.
Maybe. I may have seen him once or twice. Now we're down to our final three. I know you won't say any of these, so I feel like I can say them in any way. Actually, one of them you might, so I'm going to say that one first. It's another one from WrestleMania 10, which had Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon on it. And that match is Bret the Hitman Hart versus his brother Owen Hart. It leads off the card. Bret wrestles twice that night. He wrestles first against Owen. And then he wrestles in the main event against whoever is the WWF champion, either Yokozuna or Lex Luger. It ends up being Yokozuna, and he beats him and regains his title after losing it in the worst, not worst, but one of the worst WrestleManias of all time in WrestleMania 9 and a horrible finish at WrestleMania 9. Oh, God, I still hate that. I don't even want to talk about it. Him and Owen put on a clinic. It's two of the best wrestlers of all time who grew up with each other, who know each other, who were trained by the same guy, who were trained in the same thing, just going back and forth. It is a technical masterclass, and it tells a story. Bret hurts his knee halfway through. Owen works that knee, works the knee, works the knee. Bret sells it, carries that knee injury into the championship match later that night in the main event. Oh, it's just... Owen puts him in the sharpshooter. Oh, God, there's just so many cool moments and storytelling pieces in addition to how technically sound and great it is. And Owen also gets the win in a sneaky way and in a roll-up way, and Bret is just sitting there looking like, I can't believe I just lost to this jerk to start this show. And Owen is just being such a smarmy, yeah, jumping around the ring. And, oh, man, yeah. And as a little kid watching that, I thought there was no way in hell that Owen was going to beat Bret. And then Owen beat Bret, and I was just like, excuse me?
Excuse me?
I'm sorry? Like, I was just in shock and awe. But it's a – oof, yeah. Two of the best of all time to ever do it, and they get to lead off the show. It's – that card isn't really great, WrestleMania 10, besides that match and besides the Intercontinental title with Razor and Shawn in the ladder match. But that match is – especially if you're looking for, like, a technical masterclass. I'm going to steal your masterclass word. That is one of, like, that's easy in the top 10. Maybe it's even in the top 5 for, like, technical matches of all time. It's tremendous.
No, I'm not surprised to see you go with another Bret match.
No, I got another one coming after this.
Oh.
Shocking.
It better not be the one I think it is.
It's not the one with Shawn Michaels.
Good.
I hate that match. Yeah, I think it's terrible. Actually slow-paced. I don't think it's as good as everybody thinks it is.
Terrible.
Plus, my boy loses to Shawn Michaels, who's a prick. So, no, I'm not putting that match.
Yeah, I mean, that's a conversation for another time as well. But I honestly think it's a terrible, terrible match. Okay, so my number eight. Daniel Bryan
Oh, versus Sheamus.
I was literally about to say versus Sheamus. No, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. WrestleMania 30, not the triple threat from that same
Oh,
WrestleMania, the
okay.
actual opener to the show. I honestly, like, this match really shocked me because this I'd just come back into wrestling. I think the network had just come out as well.
Okay.
And I went back as soon as the network was released in the UK, I went and watched WrestleMania 30. And
Okay.
I remember just sat and just watching it. Bear in mind, I'd been away from wrestling for quite some time. I was just watching. Like, Triple H was. I've never been a Triple H guy, but I've always
Okay.
appreciated Triple H. And Daniel Bryan is somebody I wasn't really that au fait with because of that. Well, not only that period away, but also I wasn't even aware of, like, indie Bryan Danielson, you know? So this was my real first glimpse at Daniel Bryan. And the match was. I was just like. Like, it was. Such a great opener to WrestleMania. It just shows that Triple H can go and do some good stuff, especially when he's not being a selfish prick. He puts Daniel Bryan over hard in this and really does set up, what is one of the greatest WrestleMania moments of all time later on in the night. It's just a really fun match, like some really good psychology in there. Daniel Bryan's carrying an injury, Triple H exploits it, the usual stuff, your Stephanie being a bitch at ringside. It's so good. It's such a good match.
It's a good one.
And don't get me wrong, the triple threat in the main event as well is also a good match, but I do prefer this one. I mean, it's such a good way to kick off what, was a pretty damn good WrestleMania as well.
It's funny that year eight was a kickoff that featured, it was the first match of the card that led to a championship title match later in the night, much like my
Yeah.
number eight was with Bret and Owen. Yeah, this is a good match. Daniel Bryan, I mean, this pay-per-view cements his legacy forever because of
Yeah.
what he does. It's the peak of the Yes Movement and just an organic, natural fan thing that led him to the top, in addition to him being phenomenal, although he's not AJ Styles. Yeah, it's a good match. It's a fun match, and yeah, it's crazy what Triple H can do when he's not just burying everyone and, putting himself over, which he tends to do. cough, cough, sting, cough, cough. Good pick. I thought you were going to pick the triple threat, but I do think this one is the better match,
Yeah.
so power to you. All right, this next one is also a Bret Hart match. I know you won't pick it. WrestleMania 8. Bret Hart versus Rowdy Roddy Piper for the Intercontinental title.
I actually can't say I've seen it.
Really good, really fun. This is another one of those matches that was used to like launch Bret Hart into main event status. He wins the Intercontinental title here, and then this is the same year and cycle where later that summer he loses it to British Bulldog at Wembley.
Great
And
match.
then goes on to beat, yeah, phenomenal match. And then goes on to beat Ric Flair for the title later that year. This is the match that really like starts to push him further towards that main event card because Roddy Piper, I feel like people also don't realize that Roddy Piper was like a very main event established guy, especially through the first couple of WrestleManias. So Bret goes up against him, and it's a really cool build, a fun build. Piper is like not respecting Bret and talking about how he used to hang out at the Hart's house when he was younger, and he remembers Bret always trying to, grab peanut butter sandwiches off the table, but he wasn't tall enough because he was just a little runt, and he remembers when he used to change his diapers and he's a little baby, and he tries to get cute with Bret, and Bret is not having it. It's also when they used to do those like match interviews right before the wrestlers would take the ramp and go to the stage. So it's Mean Gene Okerlund talking with Bret and Piper right next to him, and it's Piper and Bret just like going back and forth with each other in the promo, and oh, they have a cool little like fake punch moment where Bret says he would have. Oh, and then the match itself, really great. Bret gets busted open a lot, and he's wearing the all pink, and so he's wearing the all pink suit, but it's got blood all over the front of it, all over the back of it, because he gets busted open real bad. And at one point, Piper. He's got the ring bell and he's gonna put Bret out and he can't do it. And he chucks the bell aside, puts Bret in the sleeper hold, which is his finisher. And Bret like struggles to the turnbuckle, puts his feet up on the turnbuckle and presses off. but Piper still has the sleeper locked in, but then his shoulders are down and Brett gets the 1-2-3. And then Piper gives him the sign of respect, puts the belt around his waist, holds his hand up. It launches Bret Hart, but it's just two of the best of all time. Great finish, great moment. The finish is a bit sloppy and somewhat kind of unbelievable, but it's unique. It hadn't been done at the time. You get some blood, you get awesome promos, awesome story. It's my number 9.
Nice. I'm going to have to check that out.
It's really good.
Yeah, I've not seen that.
I forgot about it because I thought – I always reverse it. He beats Mr. Perfect in a match I like more than this. He beats Mr. Perfect for his first Intercontinental title, but it's at SummerSlam. I always think the match versus Perfect is at WrestleMania, and the match versus Piper is at SummerSlam. So when I went back to watch it, I was going to put Bret versus Perfect on my list up higher. And then I was like, oh, SummerSlam. And I was like, oh, Bret versus Piper is Mania. I'm putting that on my list.
Good pick. Sure. And I like that you're bringing the old school WrestleManias into the equation. It's nice.
Thank God for videotapes, man. That's what it's the only way I got to see him. He's got two left. It's tough. Sorry, as you hear my piece of paper that I've been using to write all these down. Continue to move.
It really pains me to include this guy in my 10 because I can't stand him.
I can see the pain in your face.
But I can't as much.
Oh, who's it gonna be?
Dislike as I have for this guy.
Wow. Otis.
Like you can't like this is WrestleMania through and through. Rock Hogan, WrestleMania 18.
Oh, okay. Fair.
I can't stand Hogan. I don't hide from the fact that I can't stand Hogan. I don't think many people do. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not saying this was an absolute clinic because it's not. But the spectacle around it, the
sports entertainment,
aspect of it, the double turn, which I wasn't expecting, and the fact that they just called it. They were like, okay, fans are booing me. They're cheering you. Let's swap. And The Rock plays into it. Hogan plays his part as well. Of course, The Rock ends up winning. You got that sign of respect at the end. And even that bit right at the very start when everybody's just going nuts and they're face-to-face and they're just taking it all off.
All the camera clicks are going out. You see the bulbs flashing everywhere from people's cameras. Like it's the start of the Super Bowl and everybody's getting pumped and they're just standing. Oof.
It's the whole.
He brings back the red and the red and the yellow the next night after, right?
I believe so.
Because doesn't the NBO
the NWO attack?
They turn on it. Yeah, so he comes back in the red and yellow the next night, which is also awesome. Even though I too hate Hogan.
Yeah, I can't stand him. I can't stand him. I just think the whole thing around it is just the whole thing is a WrestleMania moment. It's not really that. It's just the whole thing is a moment. But I can't. When I was putting this list together, I was looking for it. I was like, there are so many better matches than this. But when you take everything at face value and for what it is and the moment that it created, it's in my top 10 and it's got The Rock. So, go figure.
That's fine. Yeah, who would have thought? I don't think anyone can blame me for that. There are, and again, wrestling is subjective and there are matches that are good and awesome, even if they're not like the best, like wrestling match or for what happened, quote unquote. But this is, like you said, this is a spectacle. Two of the biggest superstars in wrestling history. They fight at WrestleMania. We get a bit of a double turn. We get some awesome moments. You get a spectacle. That's what WrestleMania is about, the spectacle. And it leads to Hogan being in the red and yellow the next night, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I can't blame you for that. I had this I had this match considered along with the Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior match from WrestleMania 6. Where Hogan's the champ and Warrior is the Intercontinental champ and it's title versus title and Warrior wins. That match is not good. But just for the spectacle of it, again, like that was a huge thing. Those were the two biggest dudes in the company at that moment. Macho Man was up there too. But title for title, what spectacle, main event, and Hogan loses. Like, I was thinking of including that because of the moment. Like, the match, I don't care. But Warrior beat Hogan in a main event of WrestleMania, and he was the Intercontinental Champ, title versus title. That hadn't been seen before, the spectacle, the moment. So there is something to be said for that. So I can't blame you for that pick. That's fair.
Yeah.
Last pick.
Final pick. Last chance this for a match, steal as well.
Also last chance for a steal. I knew you were coming nowhere near this match. I also – actually, no, there's a chance you've seen it because it's probably been talked about a lot. But I would almost think it's a 50-50 toss-up, if not 60-40, that you haven't seen this match.
Okay.
It is regarded – as one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. It's also regarded as one of the best wrestling matches in the history of wrestling. It's from WrestleMania 3, and it is the Macho Man Randy Savage versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Yeah.
It's on my list. It is on my list of matches that I need to see.
This was a match like when I started getting into like wrestling past just like surface level stuff, I would hear so many people be like, oh, you know, Steamboat versus Savage, Steamboat versus Savage, Steamboat versus Savage. And this match was, oh, it's pacing, it's fluid. It may not be for everyone, even though it's so highly regarded, but you just see so many like the arm drags. I've never been so impressed by two people executing an arm drag in a match because of how pinpoint they are and how athletic they are, and they do it. And it's just Ricky, who is, I wouldn't say he's a great wrestler, but he's so athletic, one of the best athletes to ever be in professional wrestling. And then you have Macho Man, who was a tremendous athlete and is also one of the best wrestlers of all time. And ooh, it's that heel Macho Man, the Macho King. He's such a prick. Ricky is pure babyface. And great pacing, great story, athletic, big moment. Intercontinental title is on the line. Yeah, it's an instant classic. It's regarded as such, so highly regarded. I knew this match was up more for me, but I knew there was almost no chance in hell, no chance, that you would pick it. So I knew I could pencil it in as my 10.
That's
but fair. Yeah, it's a max. But that might... I was going to say that might be the best wrestling match on my entire card, but that's also a bold statement. I don't think I can make, but it's good.
Well, subjective. It is subjective.
Subjective.
What a way to round out your 10.
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. Yeah, I got almost everything I wanted. You helped me a bit because I was torn on Shawn Taker 25-26. I was torn with Edge and Mick at 22 and with Flair and Shawn at 24. So your 2, 3, and 4 really pushed me in a direction, but I'm very happy with it. Very happy indeed.
So I guess it's time to round out my draft, and one that I don't think anybody will expect, but I've seen this multiple times over the last year, and I love it more and more every time I see it. It's not a traditional wrestling match. It's not even really a match, to be completely honest. It is Undertaker versus AJ Styles.
Wow!
In the Boneyard match.
Wow, wee, wow.
From last year. I just think it's perfect.
What was that? So WrestleMania 36?
I'm lost on what WrestleMania was, to be honest.
Me too! I was hoping you knew.
I think it is 36. I'm never one for cinematic matches. I'm really not. But this one made me a fan, and then things happened post this match that I was just like, yeah, I'm no longer a fan again. It's just so good, and I think what really helps it is it's the perfect set. It's a send off for Undertaker that I didn't think that we needed. It's so well done. It's so batshit crazy in places as well. Like, it's just everything I want from wrestling, from sports entertainment. Right from Taker Well, right from AJ Styles coming out of that coffin and going and laughing, and then Taker riding in with Metallica.
We get Biker Taker back. We get
Biker Taker as well. The Druids, Gallows and Anderson getting involved. Styles thinking that he's done it and won the match, and then you have that silhouette of Taker behind him.
With the lights. Oof.
Oh, it's so well done. It is so well done, and hats off to the guys who put that together, because, like I said, I'm not a fan of cinematic matches, but I remember watching that and just being like, this is it. This is something right now. And if this is Taker's last match, I'm happy. I honestly cannot think of a better way to send him out. Like, you're using Taker's... His weaknesses at this point in his career and turning them into strengths with this. And Styles is Styles. Like, he's better off in a ring, but he more than matches still up to Taker in this. Like,
one of the best in the world.
It's so good. And like I said, there's so many more matches that are better than this. I could have gone, I don't know, Jericho, Shawn Michaels from 19. I could have gone, this is that women's match I was talking about. Banks, Flair, Becky from 32.
Oh, okay.
I mean, even that triple threat, Daniel Bryan, Orton, Batista, Triple H, Cena, Michaels, that triple threat. Like, there's so many more matches that are better than this, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I like Reigns and Brock, and like Edge Foley. Like, I just like to have a good time, and I had a great time with the Boneyard match. I remember when we reviewed WrestleMania on the pod, and we both spoke very highly of the Boneyard match, but every time I've watched it since, I think the last time I watched it was maybe 2 months ago, like I still enjoy it as much now as I did on that first viewing. Like, such a big fan.
We reviewed it, I think, that night right after,
I believe so, yeah,
Mania finished, and we were both high on it, and it was nice. That was peak quarantine times. Everybody was trapped inside. We didn't know what was going on with the world and all these things, and this was a nice little breakaway from the horrors of the world.
Yeah.
With, and again, I'm not one for cinematic matches either, but I was hooked as soon as I saw Biker Taker coming through and Metallica playing. And then even, it would also help with this too, because it was cinematic, I loved Taker just hitting him and talking and being like, "What was that, boy?" Yeah, like just tough talking him and doing the Biker Taker stuff and just be like, "Oh, well, you got something to say now?" Like, what? Punch, like, I'm sorry, what? Punch, like, oh, it was just, took us through all the different phases of Taker. It was well executed. It was well done. It fit for the ambiance and the character that Undertaker is. AJ did his thing. Anderson and Gallows did their thing. Yeah, I am not one for cinematic matches, but I loved that match. I thought it was awesome. And yeah, you and I were very pleased with it as soon as we got on and we're like shooting the shit before we did the episode. As soon as we got on, I was like, Hey, dude, that Boneyard match was awesome. And it was just, we just talked about it. Yeah, it was really cool. Really nice way for you to round out your 10. Well done.
Something a bit different. There you go, guys.
I'm going to steal it. No, I'm just kidding.
You can't steal it. Spoiler.
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 I feel like, now correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like we may have gone over an hour.
Just a tad. Just a tad. We're an hour too excited and a half at this point.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's the thing with these drafts, that because we're so, because it's our picks and it's things that we love and we're excited about. Like, it's, I know we said, oh yeah, we'll talk for like 3 minutes on each pick, but it's so hard when you talk and you're getting the goosebumps, like, you want to talk about it. It's nearly 5 o'clock in the morning here, for Christ's sake. I've enjoyed talking WrestleMania.
I had a long ass day here and I was exhausted before we started recording, and I was like, all right, cool, we'll do this pod, I'm gonna knock out, and I feel revitalized and energized because of how excited I got off of going through all these matches, and all the adrenaline rushes of goosebumps that I've gotten this entire time has me wired right now.
Yeah, Yeah, it's going to be interesting when I go to bed in a minute. But what we'll do as we're rounding out the episode, I will put up the graphic now so you can see our picks for today's show. So you can make your choice as to who drafted the best pick, because of course we are competing against each other. If you go to the what is likely the pinned tweet on my Twitter at Project Dits, you'll see the episode. If you click into that tweet, part of the thread will be the poll to vote on who drafted the better WrestleMania dream card.
Me.
I've got Hogan in mind, so yeah, potentially.
Oh yeah, that's people might
Potentially.
just be like, Tour, I can't believe you picked a Hogan match. I'm out. I'm going for the other guy.
But yeah, go make your votes. Go make your votes. Of course, you're gonna vote for me, but make your votes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vote for America. Vote for freedom. That's me.
Woo!
That's probably just turned a whole bunch of people to be like, not voting for the America guy.
Yeah. But it's been a lot of fun. It has been a lot of fun. I wish we were able to do it live, but obviously, as we said earlier, we weren't able to in the end. But I am keen to do a live draft that in the next month or so.
Yeah.
And again, well, I guess some big news is that, we did say we were going away for 4 weeks. That's not happening anymore because of said things that have gone on in the last week. So we are here for the foreseeable. So yeah, we're not going away anytime soon. So
No
yeah,
hiatus.
no hiatus, no hiatus. So we can actually get some consistency going, which is good. But this has been a blast, as it always
Yes.
is, and draft that adds that little bit of a extra sizzle to things. And the fact that we've been going for such a long time is
Okay, that's what she said.
it's evidence of that. Nice.
Yes.
Anthony, plug your stuff before we depart these lovely people.
Appreciate you. I am Anthony, co-host of the Dow Pod. You will find me every week here on the Dow Pod. You can also find me on Twitter at pro_ant. That's pro 2_ANT. And you can also find me as the host of my own podcast titled Disguised Coverage, part of the Cover One Sports Network, breaking down anything and everything pertaining to the Buffalo Bills and other NFL related things, but mainly the Buffalo Bills. And that's me in a nutshell.
Oh, short and sweet. I like it.
Yeah, short, sweet, and succinct. That's what she said.
So you can find me, as I've said, on Twitter at Project Dits, and that's the same across the board, except YouTube and Twitch, where it's literally just Project Dits. Just search and you'll find me. And honestly, I'm gonna leave it at that because we've held you for long enough. So we're gonna
I do have a
sign.
bit of a long
Oh,
goodbye, though.
you have a long goodbye. I mean, of course
Yeah,
we
a real
do.
long one.
We have the
Yeah.
traditional Anthony goodbye, so I know we've had you for, close to an hour and 40 minutes, but, bear with us. These things are always worth it. There's always something to take away from these goodbyes
Yeah.
and final thoughts from Anthony. So, over to you, my friend.
This will be a short 10 minutes. It's not too long of a speech, so bear with us for another roughly 10 to 45. This episode was about, drafting our favorite or our best our WrestleMania cards. And we mentioned it in the lead-in. It's the grandest stage of them all. It's the Mac Daddy event. It is huge. So the grandest stage of them all, an episode focused on that, deserves a goodbye that is on par with the grandest stage of them all. And because of that, being grand, I have something written here. And as I do, because I like to write my thoughts down just to be able to gather myself, because especially because I tend to get a little emotional, I get a little choked up and verklempt. So here we go. I'm sorry, hold on, let me just gather my. Okay, I'm ready. Goodbye. I can't do it with.